Welcome, everybody. Pastor Eli James here, broadcasting from sunny Southern California. I wish. Actually, I will be going to California tomorrow for a week, and so there won't be any show on Saturday morning, Genesis to Revelation, because I'll be on my way back. But in the meantime, everything else should be a good go for the broadcast week. All right, so welcome, everybody. We're here at Speak Free Radio, simulcasting on Eurofolk Radio, and this is Bloodlines for November 19th, 2023, with my co-host, Michael from Sweden. How are you doing today, Michael?
Hello, Eli, and everybody. Yes, I'm doing very good. I'm doing very good here. It's a bit now chillier here in Sweden, so it's if I go to degrees, we are in -2 degrees Celsius, but so it's a bit more crispy now. It's kind of nice outside. So you saw the sun today. Otherwise, it can be very gray in Sweden during those periods. So you get maybe lapsjuka, as we spoke about. So you're not so poor. But now we saw the sun today.
Yeah, well, we Nordics don't mind the cold weather. We prefer it sort of cool. And, Asians, they tolerate cold weather very well. Africans don't. Amerindians, the North American Amerindians tolerate cold well, but Central American too, because you have them up in the Andes, right? So it's no problem for us. Cool weather is no problem for us, and I actually prefer it to really, I don't like it when it's really hot. But London's got to be really nice right now too. Okay. All right. So let's continue with our show on the synagogue of Satan, Satan's counterfeit, namely the Jews and their religion, Judaism. And this is as yet an unpublished document that I'm working on at the present time. And the section we're going to be reading from is Christians and the Chosen People. And any comments from you at this point, Michael, from our previous couple of shows that we've done on this subject, over to you.
Now, I think this is a very appropriate subject to speak about, because people today seem also to be confused with, you have this Jewish revolutionary movement that always have existed. You have the Zionists, that people say, oh, Zionism is evil. They look at it and blame Zionism, that is evil. But Judaism is good. That is not the same thing. But this one also shows that there are basically no difference between them. So when you see Jews trying to say that, oh, we condemn Israel, what the hell will they do? I think this is just a big ploy. This is just a big make. This is just, I don't trust it at all, because we know they are still Satan's kids, and this is, nothing would change. I mean, what would change if they stand and you can hear this rabbi in I think it was in Dallas that spoke about condemn the Israeli state. But come on, he praises Judaism. He praises Talmud. That was his praising. So still, there is no change. I think this is very good. So we also get our people to know that Judaism is also evil.
Yes. Well, isn't it incredible that the vast majority of not just Judeo-Christians, but all people on the planet know nothing about the Talmud? Yet there are hundreds, if not thousands, of Jewish admissions that their true religion is the Talmud, not the Bible, right? As a matter of fact, what's going on here in Missouri, I'm actually just south of Missouri, and in Harrison, Arkansas, and there's a court case going on tomorrow. My friend Daryl McClanahan has filed a lawsuit against the ADL. Against the ADL, folks, the Anti-Defamation League, which, of course, stands for the Anglo-Defamation League. They exist to defame the Anglo-Saxon people. That's what the ADL really stands for. And he's going to be in court tomorrow presenting his case against the ADL for slander, because they accused him of being an anti-Semite. So I will ask your prayers. Please keep Daryl McClanahan in your prayers tomorrow morning. I forget what time, but I'm going to present an amicus brief to the court explaining why the Jews are the real anti-Semites of this world. And so if he chooses to, he will read that to the court, or at least submit it to the court tomorrow, depending on how things go. So this is going to be very interesting. Folks, we have a real chance now to get our position as Christian Identians on the record in a legal case against the ADL. How about that, Michael?
That sounds very, very promising and good. But yeah, I'm the court systems, I don't know how they are in America. I guess they're
corrupt.
I don't know how corrupt they are. Yeah, very corrupt. Yeah, they are corrupt. So yeah, it's let's see what that will transfer to. But
yes.
But hope you get something on record anyway against the ADL is, I guess, one of your those Jewish groups that the only thing they do is they are watching out for everything that can look like criticism toward their standpoint, and then they attack them mercifully. So I guess we have the same here in Sweden called Expo, and I guess also Southern Poverty Center, isn't that also one of those Jewish anti-defamation groups?
Yes, yeah. And so, but the good thing is that the truth of the Jewish people, who they really are and what they really are, is gathering steam on the internet, at least, right? Because since the Jews control all other means of communication, it's very difficult to get this across by word of mouth, because you can only talk to so many people at one time. And if you're at a large group and you say the Jews are not God's chosen people, they will string you up. Right. So it's very difficult to get this truth out. However, online, it is very evident that the Jews are losing their grip on the online nation. The Jews are losing their grip on the online nation. And I'm going to be reading my amicus brief this afternoon at Voice of Christian Israel. So everybody stay tuned for that. And, I'm not going to present it. I could copy it and present it online, but I'm going to save that for later. I'm going to save it for Brother Daryl, and hopefully he can present it to the court tomorrow. So it's going to be a great day. So your prayers, pray to Yahweh that the Jews will be finally exposed in the minds of the entire world, because the world needs to wake up to who and what they really are. And so this is what this Satan's counterfeit document is all about. Let me just start it off on page 16. Christians and the chosen people. I should have just called it Christians versus the chosen people. But actually, we are the chosen people, so maybe I'll just leave it and. Jewish people characterize Christians in terms different from what we may think, or what the Goyim may think. Avi Ben Mordecai states that Jews are specifically called to proselytize. Quote, now, I'm not sure if he's talking about Yahshua here or not, but let me just quote what he says. He said to go out into all the world as you go and make Talmudim, that is, converts or disciples, of all the Goyim. So I think he's quoting, he's characterizing Yahshua here. We are his Talmudim, or students of his oral traditions, which is the proper definition of the term gospel. Yeah, he's talking about Jesus here. We are to follow his Mishnah and Gemara, i.e. his Talmud, and take it to the Goyim. Hey, I liked it. Hey, I could write a song. Take it to the Goyim, teaching them to observe all that he commanded us. So, Avi Ben Mordecai states that Jews are specifically called to proselytize. I'd have to investigate this quotation more, because it really sounds like he's talking about Jesus, that Jesus is telling us to proselytize the Goyim. And of course, the Jews are the Goyim. They're not the Israelites. And then my words here, isn't this precisely the ministry of Peter Micus, Jacob Prash, and other Hebrew roots teachers, taking the Talmud to the Goyim? Or so he's talking about the Talmud, not the Bible, because there's a difference between the Talmud and the Bible, as everybody should know. The term goyim, which Mr. Mordecai uses, needs to be understood in its historical context. Citing information from the Kabbalistic book, the Zohar, a part of the Jewish mysticism which Avi ben Mordecai teaches, we note, quote, the chosen people forms the basis of all Talmudic and Kabbalistic writings. According to Zohar, all Israelites, by which they mean Jews, of course, will have a part in the future world, and on arrival they will not be handed over like the Goyim, or non-Jewish races, to the hands of the angel Duma, never heard of that angel, and sent down to hell. Indeed, the Goyim are even denied human attributes, okay? That's how the Jews feel about us. We are not even given human attributes. We are animals. We are, according to current doctrine of the rabbis on the internet, we are the Amalekites. They are God's chosen people, and we are Amalek. This is the tactic the Jews are using against us right now, calling us Amalek. According to the Emek HaMelech, the work of the Kabbalistic Naphtali, or the Kabbalist Naphtali, which has to be a rabbi, a disciple of Luria, the Goyim are of the devil. Okay, we are of the devil, according to the Jews. Okay, thus, the Zohar again explains that the words of Scripture, Jehovah Elohim made man, mean that he made Israel. Now, this is, of course, exactly our doctrine that Yahweh made us Adamites, because that's what the word man in Scripture is translated for, Adam, that he meant that he made Adam, and the basic representatives of Adam in the world today are we true Israelites. The 17th century rabbinical treatise Emek HaMelech observes, quote, our rabbis of blessed memory have said, ye Jews are men because of the soul ye have from the supreme man, i.e. God. But the nations of the world are not styled men because they have not from the holy and supreme man the neshama, or glorious soul, but they have the nefesh soul from Adam, Belial, that is the malicious and unnecessary man called Samael, the supreme devil. Okay, none of this makes sense because they're just jumping around naming this devil and that devil and this lesser god and that lesser god. So what do you glean from this, Michael? What does the Zohar say? It's pretty evident that they don't consider us to be human.
No, what I hear when you're reading this is their Jewish mentality that you have in Judaism about us. They think we are pure animal. We have no, like to say, human attributes. I guess that is why they want to, those poisonous shot that people received. I don't know how that, if it works like that way, or has their DNA been changed so they by then can patent people. And then they will be, then they're their property, and then they can deny them a lot of human rights, I guess, because, yeah. Well, the cyborgs or GMO people don't have human rights because they are not per se humans anymore. They are something else. So then they don't have it. So then they will be on the mercy of the Jewish masters, whatever they do. So I think that could also be one reason why those poisonous shots has been given to people to change their DNA to make them not human anymore, not make them human, to make them something else. And that's also when you listen to this stems their mentality toward us. They see us goyim, and also they call us the devil. Well, of course, because they are the devil and we see them as devil. So yeah, we are each other's adversary. For them, we are their adversary, and for us, they are our adversary because they are from the devil and they think we are. And then a very also distinction between the Jewish people, the Edomite, the Jewish people, but then were created. They weren't created by Yahweh's hand. They were more by procreation when Gabriel was seducing Eve in a sexual act, and that produced their seed line. Our was produced by Yahweh's hands.
That's right.
So there's some difference there too, how we came into being here. So yeah, that's my answer to when I'm listening to this, all this from the Zohar, from the all this Talmudic writings. This is their This is how they what you think about us, and that is regardless if they are Zionist, if they are Orthodox Jews, if they are non-believing Jews. This is what they think about us. Period.
Yes. Well, it's interesting that you made a very important statement there. We are the GMO people, right? And by their law, you know, which they actually have encoded in American law. I don't know about other countries. That this is Monsanto. That when Monsanto alters the DNA of whatever product they put out, they own it. Okay. And so when they alter our DNA with their GMO, with their mRNA technology, changing our DNA according to their specifications, right? Well, then we goyim are their property, according to their law, okay? But not Yahweh's law, okay? And of course, this paragraph that you just talked about is their characterization of us. In other words, it's called projection in psychology. You project onto others what you are. And that's how the Jews have always operated. They've always been projectors of their mentality onto us and accusing us of what they do. So, folks, this is the reality of the situation. And we Christians, we Judeo, not Judeo, we Adamite Christians need to keep on pushing this home because it's working. The Jews are complaining that there's all kinds of anti-Semitism going on in the world because people, more people are hating the Jews than ever. Okay, that's because of the evil things they do, not necessarily just because they're Jews. Most people don't even know what Judaism is. They think it's the biblical religion, but it's not. And so let me just recite this short paragraph here, and I'll turn it over to you. Another way of saying or spelling goyim is goy, G-O-I. Reverend I.B. Prinitis, in his online work, The Talmud Unmasked, notes that this term has been removed from recent editions. That's interesting. The word goy has been removed from the Talmud. Well, I think they have been, how should I put it, sanitizing the Talmud with more recent editions. But thanks to Elizabeth Dilling, a fellow Chicagoan, she published a book called The Plot Against Christianity. This was way back in the 1930s when she photocopied. In those days, there were physical photocopies. The photocopied the Talmud and revealed the contents of the Talmud for all to see. Of course, that book has been mightily suppressed, but it is available online for all to read. For anybody who wants to know the truth about Judaism, Google or search Elizabeth Dilling, The Plot Against Christianity, and you will know more about Judaism than you ever wanted to know. All right, over to you, Michael.
Thank you very much. So then let's start up with this quote then. So quote, goy, race or people. The Jews also call a man a goy, a Gentile. They call a Gentile woman a goya. It is mostly applied to non-Jews or idolaters. In Jewish books which treat of idolatry, worshippers of idols are often called by this single word, goy. For this reason, in more recent editions of the Talmud, the use of the word goy is purposely avoided. In other words, for non-Jews are substituted.
Okay, now this is basically true. However, even, you know, Menachem Begin, you know, referred to non-Jews as goyim, okay? But they have to be careful how they use that term, because it's obviously, for the Jews, it's a derogatory term about us, right? So they have to be careful how they use it. So what he's saying here is there is a sanitized version of the Talmud, which they change our literature as well constantly. They've been editing the Bible and trying to degenderize, desexualize the Bible by using non sexual terms, non-gender specific terms, and they're doing this to the goyim, right? But at the point is well taken here that the word goyim in both the Hebrew and ethnos in the Greek, it means nation, and it can only apply to nations, but the Jews, with their own lingo, they apply it to individuals, which is neither Hebrew nor Greek. There is no such usage in either the Hebrew or the Greek or in the Bible. Again, this proves that the Jews have their own lingo, and unless you understand their lingo, their plays on words and their own definitions of words, which do not correspond to either the Hebrew or the Greek, then you can begin to understand how they have deceived the entire world, Revelation 12:15, with their lies. Back to you.
Yes, thank you. Sometimes in their popular magazines, they say that this word means nothing harmful or evil. But contrary can be seen in their books written in the Hebrew language. For instance, in Shoshan Hamiskapt, and that's bracket 24:22, and the bracket, the name Goy is used in a depraved sense. Quote, traitors and Epicureans and apostates are worse than Goyim, end of quote.
Okay, all right. I think that they're talking about other Jews. No, they have to be talking about other Jews. Traitors, because a traitor, it'd have to be a traitor Jew. And I think by Epicurean, they mean people who are not totally Jewish. You know, they play in both worlds. And apostates are those who have turned against Judaism, right? So what they're saying here, these all three categories here are Jews. Traitors, Epicureans, and apostates are actually worse than us. Okay? So there are Jews who hate other Jews, folks. All right? Please continue.
Yes, thank you. Indeed, the whole idea of Gentiles or bracket Goyim quote, studying the Jewish oral law, as suggested by Jacob Prach, Peter Michas, Evaiden Mordechai, and other, is in direct disobedience to the proclamations in the Talmud. Even a Christian who is found studying the law of Israel merits death. Sanhedrin, bracket 59a, end of bracket, states, quote, Rabbi Joachim says, a goy who pries into the law is guilty of death. Quote, even a Christian who is found studying the law of Israel merits death, end of quote.
Here you go. That's how they think about us, folks. Yeah.
Yeah, for us doing this reading, I guess we are getting up a bit on their list.
Right. Oh, for sure. That's okay. We'll see them in court. All right. Please continue. Because as Yahshua says, all things shall be revealed. Every Jewish lie will be exposed.
Back to yes, you. It will. And that's what we're working on.
Amen.
It seems very perplexing indeed that leaders of the Hebrew Root movement who direct our thoughts and teachings of the sages in the Talmud, Mishnah, and Midrash, when these same sages have been teaching the Jewish people to destroy the writings of
bless
the Christian... thank you. the rites of the Christian, including the New Testaments. And bracket, Shabbat, 116a. Jews must destroy the books of the Christians, i.e. the New Testament, end of quote.
Okay, now, distorting the books is a way of destroying them, isn't it?
Yeah, because the initial meaning of it has been distorted, it's been destroyed.
Yeah, and so what people think of as the King James Version is in reality a Jewish version because the Masoretes, who are those rabbis who interpreted the Old Testament for their own purposes, namely Talmudic purposes, are the ones who informed the King James Translation Committee of how the Bible should be translated. Okay, so if you have a Jew looking over your shoulder, if you're translating the Bible from the Hebrew into the English, and you have a Jewish rabbi looking over your shoulder saying, "Oh no, you got to translate it this way. No, no, you got to translate it that way." Whose version of the scriptures are we looking at then when we look at the King James Version?
Well, then we're looking at Jewish. Jewish books. They have changed it to their thinking.
That's absolutely right, and that's Talmudic thinking. And Yahshua said, "If ye had believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me." And you teach your own tradition, not the tradition of Moses, but the traditions of men. Yahshua was telling us about the Talmud already in the New Testament, folks. He was warning us about what the Jews will do to the scriptures in due time, in future times. And of course, they were already doing it then because the scribes and Pharisees are the original Talmudists. Back to you. Next heading, Christian Jews. And of course, this is, I'm recalling now that this was a Hebrew roots author that I'm pretty much quoting or taking his or paraphrasing for the most part. And the Hebrew roots people believe that the Jews are God's chosen people, Israel, but they don't know the Talmud. They simply are not aware of the Talmud. So there is no such thing as a Christian Jew. There would be such a thing as a Christian Judahite, but since the Jews are Edomites, Canaanites, Khazars, and Amalek, right? And we are the true Israelites, there can be no such thing as a Christian Jew. You have a Christian Judahite, but not a Christian Jew. Over to you.
Yes, thank you for that clarification. The organization Jews for Judaism, quote, the world's foremost counter-missionary organization, end of quote, institutes that Jews are not fooled by Christians who assume a Jewish image to proselytize them. Even Jews recognize the great divide between Judaism and Christianity. Quote, though Hebrew Christianity claims to be a form of Judaism, it is not. It deceptively uses the sacred symbol of Jewish observance, bracket, i.e. community Passover, Seder's menorah, Messiah services, etc., and no bracket, as a cover to convert Jews to Christianity, a belief system antithetical to Judaism.
Okay, so I need to comment right there because I have been involved and in the Hebrew Roots movement trying to explain to them the true nature of Judaism, okay? And so it's not true that they deceptively use the sacred symbols. There are no sacred symbols of Judaism anyway. They don't do it deceptively. They do it ignorantly, falsely assuming that the Jews are Israelites, right? So this is a patent lie that he's saying that they do it deceptively. Okay, so again, this is a matter of projection. Jews projecting their deception upon those who falsely believe that in the Hebrew Roots movement, that in other words, that, well, now, the interesting thing about it, Michael, is that if those Christian Hebrew Roots people really understood the scriptures and understood that they, in fact, are Hebrews, Shemites, and Israelites, then they would have understanding. But as long as they believe the Jews are the Israelites of the Bible, they will cease to understand the Bible. Correct?
Yep.
Yep. That's the way it is, folks. Okay, so we're preaching to them as well. Please continue.
Oh, yeah, we do. We want them to see this too. This is could be their saving.
Amen.
This is the finding the truth. It's also salvation, not salvation after this life. It is here now.
Yeah, Yeah, right here now, because the kingdom is coming down to earth. We don't have to leave this planet to see the kingdom, folks. We don't have to leave this planet. Revelation chapter 21 and 22 clearly says that the new Jerusalem will be descending right here on planet Earth. Okay, this will be the headquarters of the universe when that happens. I can't wait for that day. All right.
Good. Yeah, yes. Same here. So we can get this place to be beautiful as was meant to, not being hell on earth, because now it's hell on earth here. It's very right. dystopic.
Yeah.
Hebrew Christianity is not a form of Judaism, and its member, even if they are of Jewish birth, cannot be considered members of the Jewish community.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh. That's it. Well, it goes back to those apostates that I quoted in the previous section, right? What did he say? Traitors, apostates, and Epicureans. So any Jew who joins this messianic movement with the intention of fraternizing with Christians, they're actually disavowing on its face. And of course, Talmudic Judaism would disavow them anyhow, right? So I don't know how Jews feel about this. You know, if they fraternize with Christians sincerely, is there such thing as a sincere Jew fraternizing with Christians, or are they all agents? What do you think, Michael?
I think it's number two. They're agents.
Yeah, that's right. They're Jews pretending to like Christians is what they really are. Okay, back to you.
Yeah. Hebrew Christians are in radical conflict with the communal interest and the destiny of the Jewish Ooh. People.
Okay, so any Jew who fraternizes with Christians is diametrically opposed to true Judaism. Is what they're saying. The question is, are there any real Hebrew roots Jews, right, / Christians in the world? I don't think so.
They have crossed an unbreachable chasm by accepting another religion.
All right, an unbreachable chasm. In other words, the chasm between Christianity and Judaism is so great that you can't cross over yet. We have all these Christians who believe that Judeo-Christianity, because they believe the Jews are Israel and they believe the Jews will convert to Christianity. No, they won't. You have it from a word from a Jew right here. No, there is no similarity between the two religions. They are worlds apart. And of course, that fulfills the prophecy of the enmity between the Adamites and the Kenites, otherwise known as Jews today. That there will be perpetual enmity between these two bloodlines until the judgment day when this matter will finally be settled. Amen. Let us pray for that day. Back to you, Michael.
Thank you. So, quote, yes. Practice of any other religious tradition has been understood to lead to the loss of rights to full participations in the Jewish community. Our history has clearly shown that when confronted with a group of Jews, which has adopted another faith and seeks to convert others, we must stand firm in asserting that this other faith is not Judaism and that its adherents have forfeited their privilege as Jews. Jewish traditions believe that the opportunity to return to participation in the Jewish community is always open. When this occurs, all privilege are restored. End of quote.
Okay, so in other words, these apostate Jews, these Epicureans and others who were born Jews or possibly converted to Judaism at some point in their lives, if they turn aside from Judaism, then they are, well, what are they like, you considered like Goyim? Well, it says they're traitors. They're traitors to Judaism and must be treated as such, but they do leave the door open to come back and believe the Talmud once again, all right? So, but this is just a squabble among the Jews themselves. We don't have to concern ourselves with that. The important point here is that there is an unbreachable chasm between Judaism and any other religion, especially true covenant identity Israel identity, Christianity. Back to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was wrong document.
Oh, okay. You want me to pick up?
Oh, I have it.
Okay, good.
This repudiation of those who apostatize from Judaism is stronger in the Talmud teachings of the oral law of the sages. Hilkotha Akum, bracket, X and 2, and as 10, 2 probably, round the bracket, states that defector must be killed.
Oh, okay. Defectors must be killed. All right, so any Jew who sincerely becomes a Hebrew roots, quote-unquote, Jew or Christian, Jewish Christian, in other words, must be killed. Ooh, I wonder if they know this. I wonder if these Jew Christians know this. All right, back to you.
Yeah, like Brother Nathaniel.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sure he knows it. No doubt he knows it, whether he's real or not.
Yeah, is this the case when they are having the funerals for their fellow Jews when they do have a funeral for them?
That's right. That's right. A lot of people don't know that. Glad you brought that up. Yeah, when a Jew defects from Judaism and they feel that person will never come back, they have a funeral for that person. Well, they actually might kill that person and then have the funeral, right? But they will sometimes put the cart before the horse.
Okay. quote, these things, bracket, supra, and bracket, are intended for adulterers, but Israelites also, who lapse from their religion and become Epicureans, are to be killed. And we must persecute them to the end, for they afflict Israel and turn the people from God. End of quote.
Yeah, right. But not from Yahweh, because they don't believe in Yahweh, but from their lesser god, Lucifer. Okay, please continue.
And this, if we look at this famous Shaq player that's played Shaq, Bobby Fischer, right. Wasn't he hunted by the Jews all around the world?
Yeah, well, he was half Jew. I think his mother was white. And he turned against the Jews, and he had to leave America because they hounded him practically to death. He wound up living in Japan, but he, to his dying day, he blasted the Jews for what they really are. Okay, so there's such a thing as a good half Jew, right? A full blooded Jew. Well, actually, now Benjamin Freeman is another case. But some people have asserted that Benjamin Freeman was adopted by a Jewish couple. He turned against Judaism 100% and tried to expose Judaism to the Christian world in his latter days. But he was high up in the ranks. He was an aide to, to many high-ranking Jews, such as the Supreme Court Jews, Felix Frankfurter, and several others, many others. And he eventually turned against them and wrote a book about the Jews and saying that Jesus was not a Jew. All right. And he was very vociferous in his complaint that Jesus was not a Jew and that the Jews are not Israelites, but in fact, Khazars. Okay. So there are some Jews who do really good work, but whether or not they are truly what we call Israelites, our people, is another question. Benjamin Freedom may have been adopted, but there's no doubt that Bobby Fischer was a half Jew. Okay, back to you.
Yes, thank you. So, non-Jews or converted Jews who affect a Jewish demeanor or compromise Christian doctrine, meaning inclusive of New Testament doctrine, to appeal to the Jewish mindset, are surrounding the precious pearl of Jesus Christ.
Surrendering
the precious pearl of Jesus Christ, who alone leads to salvation. The ecumenical approach does not lead Jews to Jesus Christ, but patronizes their religion to dead work, and result in the Christians' acceptance of religion on Jewish terms.
There you go. That's what the Hebrew Roots movement is really doing. They think they're converting Jews to Christianity, but no, they're actually, the Jews are simply playing along with them, fooling them, and eventually they'll get stabbed in the back by the Jewish community. All right. So this is obviously a Hebrew Roots guy who is warning Hebrew Roots Christians about the backstabbing potential of the Jews if they invite the Jews into their company. Isn't that how all Christians should behave toward Jews?
Yeah. Yeah, but there you have a big, big brainwashing that's going on. So you just think about that. That, I mean, yeah. There's a big brainwashing. They have to come over for those Christians to realize that you cannot trust any Jews, even if they are nice to you, even if they're kind, whatever. They do it because they want to fool you.
Yes. Okay. Paul Eric in the chat room has this meme. This is from Bobby Fisher. My basic thesis is that the Jews are a criminal people. And the Jews completely control the United States, and the Jews are using the United States as a vehicle to take over the world, unquote. Oh, he might as well be identity. He's definitely a conspiracy theorist. Thank you, Paul Eric, for that meme. Let's continue. Okay, well, here, let me pick up the next section. And we are approaching the top of the hour, and we'll take a short break at the top of the hour. And again, we are talking about Satan's counterfeit and discussing the Hebrew Roots movement, which is very strong here in the Ozarks. It's very strong. I mean, if you go to a small town in the Ozarks and there is a Christian gathering, the chances are that many of these people will be Hebrew Roots Christians who do not understand the Bible. They basically assume that the Bible is a Jewish book, that Jesus was a Jew, and ultimately all Jews will convert to Christianity. That's their basic theme. And so that's what they call Hebrew Roots. So Galatians 5 verses 1 through 8, quote, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Okay, so Michael, what do you think the yoke of bondage is?
The yoke of bondage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. That's from Galatians. Yeah. And this yoke of bondage what could that mean?
The yoke of bondage, right? That's a good way of saying it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's read the verse, whether Christ means free.
Now remember, he's addressing true Judahites. He's not addressing Jews. He's addressing true Judahites. And he's saying, well, once Yahshua was sacrificed himself for us on the cross, what was eliminated? What was the elimination there?
And that was the sacrificial laws.
Yeah,
so he don't want us to be in that yoke of that bondage with the old law, with sacrificial laws, and that was done away with.
Yes. Now, what is the typical Judeo-Christian interpretation of this yoke of bondage? What do they think it is?
I think they think the whole law, probably.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So it shows the complete lack of understanding of the typical modern Christian of what Paul is talking about here. Complete lack of understanding. And this is our burden, Michael, to take a 2x4, a spiritual 2x4, and knock them up the side of the head and tell them what the Bible really teaches and what Paul really teaching. And here's another false assertion made by Judeo-Christians that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. No, he's not. The word Gentile does not occur in Scripture. That's a translational deceit. It's error. It's actually made by Catholic scribes, an error made by Catholic scribes and picked up by the Protestants. And that is actually what the Jews want us to believe, that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. No. The Galatians were actually Judahites who had migrated to Galatia, i.e. France, and come back to the Middle East, okay? And these are the people Paul refers to as the Galatians. And so, but they believed in the law, of the sacrificial law. But they did not realize that the Messiah had come and set us free from the bondage of the sacrificial law. Okay? That's what this passage means. This is Galatians 5, 1 through 8. And let's continue here. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, I pronounce that in Swedish English, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Okay, so if you think that you are, according to the ritual, not as a ritual, okay, circumcision is a ritual, that if you are compelled, you feel compelled to practice circumcision, then you are compelled to observe the whole law. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, is there, Michael?
No, not observing the whole law. Just that we don't do sacrificial laws. We don't destroy our temple.
Yeah,
in some
but
way.
But the exception is the ritual sacrificial law that we don't need to practice. But Paul is saying to those who insist that we must practice circumcision, well, then you must practice all the ritual law. Okay, so I mean, do you really want to do that? I mean, do you want to spend every week sacrificing animals for your sins? Really? Is that what you want to do?
No.
No, but that's what the Jews want you to do. If you become a Jew, that's why they want to reestablish the third temple. And this is the bondage that the Hebrew roots people are under, that they actually believe that the Bible predicts a third temple. No, it does not. That's Talmudic, folks. That's Talmudic. He continues. Paul continues. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by that ritual law he's talking about, ye are fallen from grace. For we through... Now, okay, isn't a common saying of the Judeo-Christians that once saved, always saved?
Nah. Not really.
No.
You cannot think this because you cannot relax. You think you're saved and then you do nothing. Well, then you end up in purgatory.
Yeah, you're going to either go to hell or to heaven, one or the other. For we through the Spirit. Now, remember, this is Galatians, folks. This is Paul saying, if you think you're justified by the ritual law, then you are fallen from grace. But if you believe the Jews are justified by the ritual law, then you're making common company with them. Didn't Paul say, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers?
Yes, he did. And that is being, and that could definitely be defined by Jews if you are.
There you go. Oh, man. Yeah. If there's an unbeliever in the world, it's a Jew. Right? Let's continue. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness through faith. Now, what is faith? Is it mere belief? Or is it the practice of the law and the prophets, as Yahshua put it?
No, I think you have to put in some work. You cannot just believe and then you're saved because... you have to do some work. We have to do some action. And that is what the Jews always not want us to do. To do actions. So, they always think then and pray and have faith and then but you don't have an actions behind it. So
right.
That avails not words, much.
In other words, the Judeo-Christians are like Generation Z who don't want to work. Right? Oh, Generation Z. Aren't those the ones who have faith in socialism?
Yeah. And much
but they
other.
But they want to be the commissars who make other people work. Right? So I've been saying over and over that Judeo-Christians are more like liberals than they are different. And this is the proof. That's a great point. That they don't want to work. They don't want to put in the effort that is required to get the reward, to get the prize. Right? They think they're already saved. Why? Because their pulpit bastard has told them they are, right? Oh, man, the lies come preaching from the 501c3 pulpit are as awesome as Jewish lies, folks, as wicked as Jewish lies. For we, righteousness is the operative word here, folks. Righteousness is obedience to the law. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faithfulness. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faithfulness which worketh by love. Oh, man, is this a loaded statement? Okay, I would have to say, in my experience, and probably yours too, I don't know to what extent you have interacted with Swedish Christians or people who call themselves Christians in Sweden, the operative, the main thrust of American Christianity is this. We believe in the gospel of personal salvation. Okay? So they go and hear sermons by preachers who tell them they're saved by, that their objective here is personal salvation. If you believe in Jesus, then you're saved. Okay? What about brotherly love? Isn't this a very selfish form of Christianity?
Yeah. It's right? Very narcissistic. And that is something that Yahweh does not like. If you're a narcissist, if you have a big ego, you should not have a big ego. And that is, that could also be very painful to get rid of that ego. That could be very painful for people, but learn it early to get rid of the ego. So you don't, when you grow up a bit and then your ego is getting, you're getting some hit on your ego. So get rid of the ego. And have no pride. He don't want prideful people and people that want to be, as you said, this personal salvation sounds like they only want to have material gifts, material. They think that is blessing. And what is that? Who blesses that? Who does that? That is, of course, Satan's system. If you're obedient to them, you will be rewarded monthly with money, women, everything. But
Preach it. All right. It's Judeo-selfishness.
Judeo-selfishness. And that is materialistic, and that is Judaism, also some kind of Judaism. So they are transferred into Jews.
Amen. They become Jews, and they think they're Christians, and they think they're saved because they're only focused on their own salvation. And you're absolutely right, because Joel Osteen is a perfect example of it. He preaches the gospel of personal salvation and also the gospel of prosperity. You know, you donate money to me, you're a Jewish pulpit bastard, and send money to Israel, and you'll be saved.
Yeah, but how much blessings have you received from It's a Lie? What have you received in blessings? You got 9/11. You get the murder of JFK. So I don't know. I don't call that really blessings, to be honest.
No. We've been going through hell ever since we recognized the bastard state called Israel, right? So one more sentence here. The ecumenical approach, which means that all religions are the same, and it doesn't matter what religion you practice, Jesus accepts you. That's the ecumenical approach. Does not lead Jews to Jesus Christ, but patronizes their religion of dead works, right? Dead works, that's Judaism, folks, and results in the Christian's acceptance of religion on Jewish terms. Well said. I could not have said it better myself. Wow. This is great stuff, folks. I can't wait to publish this. So in the meantime, you are listening to Speak Free Radio, and I'd like to invite you all to go to MoneyTreePublishing.com, which is Dave Gaharry, and Dave Gaharry is the owner of Speak Free Radio, and check out the books they have for sale there at Money Tree Publishing, and it's getting better all the time. We're planning on adding one of my books to the collection, namely Arsenal of Words, which is a detailed account of all the words in the Bible that the Jews have misdefined for Christians, right? A new book here, The Myth of German Villainy, in black and white. And this is a typical one, Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler. We know how the Jews have distorted the record of World War II. And also World War I, of course, Henry Ford's The International Jew, War Against Whites, my fantastic book, The Great Impersonation. If you don't read my book before you read the Bible, you will not understand what the Bible is truly about. Exposing the Lies of History, The Secret Masonic Victory of World War II. That sounds really good. That's a 3-CD set. communism by the back door, hellstorm, exploding Middle East myths. These are just some examples of what's available at Money Tree Publishing. And so, of course, do your best to support that operation. Dave Geharry would appreciate it. If you buy his books, the books at Money Tree Publishing, you support the cause of the white race. All right. So, folks, let's take a quick break. And we're going to play a song by Jonathan David Brown. And let's see, which one is it I'm going to play today? It's, oh, Insane Babylonians. Here we go. We'll be right back, folks. Okay, we are back, folks. That was Jonathan David Brown. Those of you who have been listening to my shows for years and maybe even decades, Jonathan David Brown was a regular guest on my shows when I was on TalkShoe. And he was born and raised into the Christian identity faith. And that's why he's been motivated to write these songs. By the way, a lot of Jews bought his songs, his albums, because they thought those songs were about them. Right? We know better than that. All right. So it's a funny world we live in, folks. A very funny world. Okay. So let's get back to this document here, Satan's Counterfeit. And the next section here is called Common Ideas. And I will turn it over to you here, Michael. Common Ideas.
Yes, thank you very much. So, contemporary Jewish thought reflects the same aversion to Jesus Christ as historical Judaism. Quote, Jews vary about what they think of Jesus as a man. Some respect him as an ethical teacher who accepted Jewish law, as someone who didn't even see himself as a Messiah, who didn't want to start a new religion at all. Rather, Jesus is seen by these Jews as someone who challenged the religious authorities of his day for their practices. In this view, he meant to improve Judaism according to his own understanding, not to break with it. End of quote.
Okay, so in other words, he was like Martin Luther, who wanted to reform the Roman Catholic Church, not change it. Well, of course, the word Judaism is a false term for the law and the prophets. The Israelites never called their religion Judaism. So that's a false characterization of Scripture. There never was such a religion until it was invented by the scribes and Pharisees and became ultimately known as Talmudism. Okay, these are historical facts that every Christian needs to be aware of. Back to you, Chaim Maccabi. What does he have to tell us?
Yeah, he sums up Jewish thought regarding Jesus as this. Quote, with the composition of the gospel, then a fictitious Jesus was created, suitable for the needs of the Hellenistic Gentile Christian church. The prophet king, human and Jewish, who was revered but not worshipped by the Jewish Christian church, was turned into a divine sacrifice. Jesus, who was in reality an apocalyptic Pharisee's rabbi, who claimed the titles of prophet and king, was turned into a pagan god, end of quote.
Okay, well, I think what he's saying is was turned into a pagan god by the Jews. I think that's what he means. I don't think he was saying that he became a pagan god, right? But he could mean that. Okay, hard to know what a Jew is thinking. Okay, please continue.
So this is Dr. Epstein concludes. Quote,
oh no, another Epstein.
It can't be good.
Yeah, right, can't be good.
Whatever the Jewish response is, one point is crucial. No one who is Jewish, no born Jew, and no one who converts to Judaism can believe in Jesus as the literal Son of God or as the Messiah. For the Jewish people, there is no good, no God, but God. End of quote.
All right. That's the Jewish belief, folks. Don't believe otherwise.
We could elaborate further on the Jewish thought regarding the New Testament, the writings of Paul, who was viewed as a heretic, and the disciples. We could expand the idea that many Jews believed that James and Peter were Pharisaic rabbis who believed in the Jewish idea of the Messiah, that Jesus was not divine. We could expand on the theory that James believed to have been the head of the Nazarene movement, was not in any way in conflict with the teachings of the Pharisees, but was devout in promoting them. We could expand on the Jewish ideas that Paul, not Jesus, is viewing as an organizer of Christianity. of the concept of Jesus being divine, and that notion came from Greek paganism.
Not from the Bible, but from Greek paganism. Oh, okay.
We could, but one only has to go to Jewish sites and see that their beliefs are diametrically opposed to Christianity. Sadly, we could also see the denial of the virgin birth and condemnation of all connected to Christ. They are devout in their conviction.
But no, they will all convert to Christianity just before the judgment day, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to believe? Okay.
Yeah, but I would not. Yeah, the Jews will not convert. They will never convert.
No, not happening.
There has been so many trials in history with them. We have the Catholic Church that tried and tried and tried and tried. Look in Spain. Then they just forcibly converted them. They still practice Judaism.
That's right. And
they just hide it. Come on. They will do it just to save their own butts.
Right. In those days when the Catholic Church ruled Spain, but today the Jews rule the world, and so the Jews aren't hiding their true religion anymore. Are they?
No, they're not. No. No, because that is the big thing you cannot talk bad about. If you blaspheme Jewish faith or Jews or the Holocaust, whoa on you. Then you have done a mortal sin for them.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is the God they are worshiping.
Yes, for sure. Lucifer.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's continue then.
First Corinthians 3:11.
Yeah. Yes, that's where we won.
Yeah.
I have this one first. While the Hebrew or Messianic movement urges us to embrace, quote, our foundational Hebrew roots, end of quote, scriptures tell us that our foundations is none other than Jesus Christ. And this is 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11. Quote, for other foundations can no man lay, that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, end of quote.
Okay, so is Paul a Judaizer?
No, he's not the Judaizer.
No, but he quotes the Old Testament in virtually every page of all his epistles. But that religion that he's quoting from is not Judaism. It's the Law and the Prophets. It did not have a name. We call it Mosaism because it's based on the Mosaic Law. But it was never called Judaism by anybody but Jews. And even then, it's not scripture. It's not the Torah. It's Talmudism. And is it possible for the Christian to be more deceived than they are already?
Well, you can obviously see them some more because they are all already so demoralized. So they will never ever wake up until they get this military boot in their butt, and then it's too late for them.
There you go. There you go. I've got the boots. Just to I haven't worn them yet. I will shortly. All right, back to you.
Yes. So, if Jewish teachers or teachings cannot entertain the idea of a divine Christ or Messiah, sin, salvation, eternity, and other issue, what then? How are we to learn the true meaning of scriptures from them unless we reject the very truth of Jesus Christ, salvation, sin, and the rest of the New Testament?
Right. This is really, more I think about it, excuse me, this is an awesome document because this was written to explain to the Hebrew roots Christians what Judaism really is and what they're getting themselves into. Unfortunately, it doesn't get into identity, but this is a clear issuance of a warning that if you get into the Hebrew roots movement, you are going to be flummoxed by the Jews. You're going to go down the primrose path. What's the movie? Judy Garland, that they went down the yellow brick road, right? The yellow brick road is strewn with the corpses of falsely believing Christians, Judaized Christians. Okay? Their dead bodies are laying all over the side of the road. Back to you.
Yeah, but that's the Jews' plan. That's their agenda. They don't right. want to lead them to salvation. They don't want to lead them to the truth. That's Jews right. are never. They never speak the truth. They will just leave them to damnation. That's where they end up.
That's right.
As stated above, quote: "No one who is Jewish, no born Jew, and no one who converts to Judaism can believe in Jesus as the literal Son of God or as the Messiah." End of quote. Jewish convictions proclaim a Christian cannot be considered Jewish or adapt the Jewish belief, rituals, and ceremonies, and still remain a Christian. It would be like becoming a Christian Muslim or a Christian Mormon, an impossibility.
Ooh. Now, wait a minute. I'm not so sure that the Mormons aren't Christians, you know, just because they have the Book of Mormon. But they don't deny Jesus Christ. So, but please continue. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Yeah.
Okay. Romans 2, verses 28-29. Quote, "For he is not a Jew, which
or
is
Judite.
One...
Proper definition, Judite. He is not a Judite. Yes.
Which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Judite, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." And of
oh,
God.
Okay. So was Paul a Talmudist or an anti-Talmudist?
Anti-Talmudist.
Amen.
Galatians 3, verses 2. Quote, "This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" End of
okay.
quote.
All right. Now, the works of the law has to be an idiomatic expression that was common in the days when Paul preached, and it means the rituals of the law. In other words, it's those sacrificial rituals. That's what Paul is talking about, and it becomes obvious when you compare. If you do a word study of the word works. In the New Testament, Paul praises good works time and time again, but then he condemns the works of the law. So could he be for good works and against them at the same time?
No, that sounds like an oxymoron.
Yeah, it's an oxymoron. Thank you.
Oxymoron.
And you know English pretty well. Well, a lot of English speakers don't know what the word oxymoron means. It means a contradiction. A self-contradiction. So when you look by the entire expression, works of the law, you find out that it's a reference to the rituals that the Pharisees practiced. That's what Paul means by works of the law. So let me read that quotation again. Again, it's Galatians 3:2. "This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the rituals of the Jews? Or by the hearing of faithfulness to the law, the moral law." Back to you, Michael.
Thank you. We cannot be both. Cultural heritage and genealogy cannot take precedence over our faith and obedience to Christ. If it does, we are not serving him as we should.
Well, but of course you have to be a genealogical Israelite for the Bible to even apply to you. So again, this is a Hebrew roots guy giving us his opinion. I almost said epistle. Back to you.
If the Talmud and other Jewish works are upheld, the doctrine is described above from the past and today. What businesses do Christians have embracing these teachings, rituals and ceremonies, and the reasons for them? Reasons tell us that the theology of the Jewish rabbis and teachers, which are opposed to the very foundations of our beliefs, influence every aspect of their sacred books. And their teachings. We need to explore the instructions within the Talmud further.
Oh, for sure. Let's do it. Okay.
So next, to embrace Hebrew root for the Talmud and demonology.
Demonology. Demonology. Oh, my favorite subject.
And
really
this is
hope.
like not a lot. Here's a lot of notes. We won't read that. So let's here start up with in volume H of the U.S. Encyclopedia on page 539, found in the Library of Congress, the New York Public Library and Libraries of all leading cities, will be found the official translation to English of the prayer known as the, quote, Kol Nidre, end of quote.
Okay.
And bracket, all vows, end of bracket, prayer. It is the prologue of the Day of Atonement service in the synagogue. It is recited three times by the standing congregations in concert with chanting rabbis at the altar. After recital of the Kol Nidre, all vows, prayer, the Day of Atonement religious ceremonies follow immediately. The Day of Atonement religious observance are the highest holy days of the so-called or self-styled bracket, quote, Jews, end of quote, and are celebrated as such throughout the world. The official translation into English of the, quote, Kol Nidre, end of quote, all vows, prayer follows.
Okay, here it is, folks. This is the Jewish Kol Nidre, all vows. All vows the Jews take. They recite this every year on their Babylonian Day of Atonement, not the Christian Day of Atonement, not the biblical Day of Atonement, but the Babylonian Talmudic Day of Atonement. Over to you, Michael.
Yes, thank you. So, quote, all vows, obligations, oath, and anathems, whether called konam, konas, or by any other name, which we may vow or swear or pledge, or whereby we may be bound from this day of atonement unto the next, bracket, whose happy coming we await, end of bracket, we do repeat.
We do repent. So in other words, at this point it says, any vow or oath or a pledge or swearing we repent of this now, even before we make it. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
May they be deemed absolved, forgiven, annulled, and void, and made of no effect. They shall not bind us, nor have powers over us. The vows shall not be reckoned vows. The obligations shall not be obligatory, nor the oath be oath. End of quote.
Okay, that's it. That's the Kol Nidre prayer of the Jews. Now, what's wrong? You know, compare this to the Bible and the oaths taken by the Israelites at Mount Sinai, which was recited to them by Moses. What's the difference between that oath that the Israelites took and this oath that the Jews take?
This is just lies and deceit. They only say they want to lie. We do this, and then they change. No, we're not doing. They are lying. They are liars. You cannot trust them. When I see this, they are liars.
Yeah, and they lie consciously, because they keep this prayer in mind from one Day of Atonement to the next, as it says in the prayer, that in order for us to properly and totally deceive the Judeo-Christians, we keep this prayer in mind from one Day of Atonement to the next. So the better to fool them with, okay? I think maybe the Brothers Grimm had this prayer in mind when the wolf tried to eat the three pigs, right? And I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. Well, this is the prayer by which the Jews huff and puff and blow our house down. Okay? And please continue, because it's referenced in the Talmud.
Yes, so the implications, interference, and inugens of the Kol Nidre, all vows prayer, are referred to in the Talmud in the book of Nedarim, and this 23a to 23b as follows.
Okay.
Book. Okay, let's see here then. Quote, And he who desires that none of his vows made during this year shall be valid, let him stand at the beginning of the year and declare, quote, every vow which I make in the future shall be null. His vows are then invalid, end of bracket, providing that he remembers this at the time of the vow, end of quote.
All okay. Right. Emphasis in the original and supplied by the editor. So can it be any clearer that Judaism permits Jews to deceive the Goyim?
No doubt at all. Yeah, you see it here in this prayer they have here.
Yeah, it's in their annual prayer, and it's confirmed in the Talmud that that's what the Kol Nidre is all about. And so, so there are some important footnotes here. Why don't you read through those, and then you know I'll pick up the the recital after this. Okay, go ahead.
So
footnotes, footnote.
Okay, this may have provided a support for the custom of reciting Kol Nidre, bracket, a formula for this dispensation of vows, end of bracket. Prior to the evening service of the Day of Atonement, bracket, ran, end of bracket. Though the beginning of the year, bracket, new year, end of bracket, is mentioned here, the Day of Atonement was probably chosen on account of its great solemnity. But Kol Nidre.
Okay, I bet Lucifer is a very solemn day, right? All right.
And the parking lot outside of the synagogue is full.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and all these Hebrew roots Christians are wanting to join in, but the Jews won't let them because they're not real Jews. Okay. All right.
But Kol Nidre, as part of the ritual, is later than the Talmud, and as seen from the following statement of our Huan B. Hinienne, the law of the revocation of advances was not made public.
Okay, why wouldn't it be made public?
No, because then people would know that you cannot trust them. They would won't stick to what they vowed to do.
Right. Okay. So whoever the author of this, I have to revisit this document and see if I can find it online and share it with people, because this is an outstanding explanation of the true nature of Judaism for the benefit of Hebrew roots Christians. All right. All right. What else can we learn here? Not made public, eh? Didn't Yahshua say we teach nothing in secret, but we teach it openly?
Exactly. And the Jews do exactly the opposite of it.
That's right.
The greatest study of the Kol Nidre, All Vows Prayer, was made by the eminent psychoanalyst professor Theodor Reich, the celebrated pupil of the famous Dr. Sigmund Freud, the analyst of the historic, religious, and psychological background of the, quote, Kol Nidre, end of quote, bracket, all vows, end of bracket, prayer by Professor Reich, present the Talmud in its true perspective. This important study is contained in Professor Reich's, the quote, the ritual psychoanalytical studies, end of quote, in the chapter of the Talmud on page 168. Professor Reich states, quote, the text was to the effect that all oaths which believers take between one day of atonement and the next day of atonement are declared invalid, end of quote.
Yeah, okay, here's a couple of quotations from the New Testament about the word secret, okay? Matthew 24:26, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. No, when he returns, if the whole world will see him coming. Mark 4:22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. So we are learning about the Talmud right here, right now, are we not? John 18:20. Yahshua answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue, that is the congregation of Judah, which had been co-opted in large part by the Edomite Jews, and in the temple, whither the Judeans always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Okay? They keep secrets from us, and we, especially those unaware Christians, spill their guts out to the Jews so they can use our testimony against us. All right, back to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And let's see. And then before explaining to you how the present wording of the Kol Nidre prayer was introduced into the Day of Atonement synagogue ceremonies, my dear Dr. Goldstein, I would like to quote a passage to you from the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia. The Universal Jewish Encyclopedia confirms the fact that the Kol Nidre, end of quote, all vows prayer has no spiritual values as might be believed, because it is recited in synagogues on the Day of Atonement as the prolong of the religious ceremonies which follow it. The secular significance of the Kol Nidre, all vows prayer, is indicated forcefully by the analysis of the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia in volume 6 on page 441. It states, quote, the Kol Nidre has nothing whatever to do with the actual idea of the Day of Atonement. It attained to extraordinary solemnity and popularity by reason of the fact that it was the first prayer recited on this holiest of days. End of quote.
Okay. Holy to whom?
Yes.
Holy to what God?
Satan.
All right.
My dear Dr. Goldstein, prepare for the shock of your life. Compelled by what you may now read here about the Kol Nidre, all vows prayer, you must be shocked to learn that many Christian churches actually, quote, peal their bells, end of quote, on the Day of Atonement in celebration of the Holy Day for the so-called or self-styled, quote, Jews, end of quote. How stupid can the Christian clergy get?
All right. How stupid can we be?
From what I have learned after cursory inquiry, I am unable to say whether it was a case of stupidity or cupidity. With what you already know, together with what you will additionally know before you finish this letter, you will be able to judge for yourself whether it was stupidity or cupidity. There is not one single fact in this entire letter which ever graduate of a theologian seminary did not have the opportunity to learn.
Okay, so what is cupidity? Cupidity is deceit with a smile on your face.
Yeah, right? That's that they practice.
There you go. Okay, this is such an illuminating document. That was Benjamin Friedman. This is a quotation from the work of Benjamin Friedman. All right, back to you.
The following news items was featured in the New York, quote, World Telegram, end of quote, on October 7th, only a few days ago, under a prominent headline, quote, Jewish holidays to end at sundown, end of quote. The New York World Telegram gave great prominence to the following story. Quote, synagogues and temples throughout the city were crowded yesterday as the 24-hour fast began. Dr. Normal Salit, head of the Synagogue Council of America, representing the three major Jewish bodies, had called on the faith to join the fast, cutting across religious lines. Many Protestant churches in the city pealed their bells last night to sound the Kol Nidre, traditional melody used at the start of the Yom Kippur. The gesture of goodwill was recommended by the Manhattan office of the Protestant council, end of quote, and emphasis as applied.
Yeah, but then the Jews turn around and prevent the Christians from putting up their Christmas ornaments in public places, right? And the Christian churches peal their bells for the Kol Nidre? Can you believe this, folks? Are we deceived or what?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, please continue.
That just about tops anything I have had come to my attention, revealing the ignorance and indifferences of the Christian clergy to the hazards today facing the Christian faith. From my personal contact with the Manhattan office of the Protestant Council in the recent past, I hold out very little hope for any constructive contribution they can make to the common defense of the Christian faith against its dedicated enemies. In each instance, they buckle under the pressure exerted upon them by the contacts for so-called or self-styled, quote, Jews, end of quote. If it was not so tragic, it would be comic. It was a joke indeed, but the joke was on the Christian clergy. Ye gods, quote, many, end of quote, Christian churches, quote, pealed their bells, end of quote, as the Protestant Council reports the event, quote, to sound the Kol Nidre, traditional melody used at the start of Yom Kippur, end of quote, just where does betrayal of the trust and breach of faith begin?
Well, they're the same thing, right? They are the same thing, and the guilt lies with the Judeo churches, the vast majority of whom are 501c3, IRS beholden, man serving, government beast serving churches, no longer preaching the gospel of Yahshua Messiah. They're preaching Judaism. As General Cornwallis admitted to General Washington when he surrendered to Washington at Yorktown, he told General Washington, you have not won the war. This was just a battle. Within 200 years, your country will be practicing Judaism and the Christian people will not know it. Back to you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's true because now your nation is practicing some kind of this Judeo-Christianity, and that is basically Judaism for the masses.
Amen. Judaism for the masses, right? Okay.
Let's continue. The presenting wording of the Kol Nidre, Old Wild Spray, dates from the 11th century. A political reversal in Eastern Europe compelled the so-called or self-styled, quote, Jews, end of quote, in Eastern Europe to adopt the present wording of the Kol Nidre, Old Vows Prayer. That story involves the history of the so-called or self-styled, quote, Jews, end of quote, before relating here as briefly as possible the history of the so-called or self-styled, quote, Jews, end of quote, of Eastern Europe. I would like to quote here another short passage from the Jewish Encyclopedia in analyzing the courses of history, which resulted in the present wording of the Kol Nidre, Old Vows Prayer, the Jewish Encyclopedia in volume 9-7 on page 540 states, quote, an important alteration in the wording of the Kol Nidre was made by Rashi's son-in-law, Meir ben Samuel, who changed the original phrase from the last day of the atonement to this one, to, quote, from this day of atonement until the next, end of quote.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, this is highly significant. It's sort of like saying that we should not take the name of Yahweh in vain, changing that into the name of Yahweh should not be spoken. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a change on that order. Okay, so it originally stated from the last day of atonement to this one, to from this day of atonement until the next one, which means the Jews forgive themselves for all of the sins they're about to commit in the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, this is the work of Benjamin Friedman. This is outstanding stuff, folks. All right, please continue.
Let's continue. You'll agree, my dear Dr. Goldstein, that Meyer Ben Samuel knew what he was doing. The wording of that altered version of the Kol Nidre, All Vows Prayer, makes the recital of the prayer a release during the coming year from any obligations to respect any oath, vow, or pledge during the coming year. Like any one-year license obtained from the federal, state, or municipal governments, the altered version of the Kol Nidre, All Vows Prayer, extends immunity in advance for 1 year from the obligations to observe the terms of oath, vows, and pledge made in the year following the date of the Day of Atonement when the prayer was recited. Each year, however, it becomes necessary to renew this license, which automatically revokes in advance any oath, vow, or pledge made during the next 12 months by again appearing in the synagogue on the next Day of Atonement and reciting the Kol Nidre, bracket, all vows, prayer again. Do you approve of this?
Well, obviously the vast majority of Jews do approve of this. I don't hear any Jews complaining about it. And this goes for the secular, so-called secular Jews too, because they know about this prayer. They know how corrupt the rabbinate really is, and they just go along with it. Well, what choice does the average Jew have? You have to cooperate with the synagogue of Satan, with the Kahela, the Jewish power structure, because if you don't, then you could be termed a traitor, apostate, or Epicurean, right? The Jews know, the lower class Jews know this. And so what future might such a Jew have sincerely converting to Christianity?
Not so much, I think.
No,
you don't have
not so much.
Not so right? much, I would say.
Yeah, okay. This is the dilemma of all the little Jews. They either play along or they get dumped. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's continue. The passage in the Talmud referred to Kol Nidre, All Vows Prayer, certifies to several serious situations. It certifies that Kol Nidre, All Vows Prayer, was added as a prologue to the Day of Atonement religious service long after the completion of the Talmud between 580 to 1000 AD by the statement, quote, as part of the ritual is later than the Talmud, end of quote. It confirms that Meir Ber Samuel, who authored the present altered version of the Kol Nidre, All Vows Prayer, lived in the 11th century. Furthermore, the so-called or self-styled Jews in Eastern Europe believed it served their purpose better to keep secret from their Christian conquerors their attitude on oath, vows, and pledges. Quote, the law of revocation in advance was not made public, end of quote.
Okay, that's the reason. The better to deceive you with, Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah. With a complete and accurate knowledge of the origin and history of the so-called or self-styled Jews in Eastern Europe, my dear Dr. Goldstein, it is quite impossible for yourself or for anybody to intelligently understand the harmful influence the Talmud has exerted for 10 centuries and the Kol Nidre, All Vows Prayer, for 7 centuries upon the course of world history. These two little known facts are the hub and the spokes of the big wheel rolling merrily along the road to complete world domination in the not distant future. Without arousing suspicions and wearing the innocent disguise of an alleged religious belief as their only defense mechanism, this insidious intrigue creates a most effective camouflage for the conspirators. The virtually of their plot presents a problem in the defense of the political, economic, social, and cultural ideologies developed under a Christian civilization.
Yes. Okay, well, let me pick it up from here with about 18 minutes left. You will probably also be astonished as the 150 million Christians years ago when I electrified the nation with the first publication by me, this is Benjamin Friedman speaking, of the facts disclosed by my many years of research into the origin and the history of the so-called or self-styled Jews in Eastern Europe. My many years of intensive research established beyond the question of any doubt, contrary to the generally accepted belief held by Christians, that the so-called or self-styled Jews in Eastern Europe at any time in their history in Eastern Europe were never the legendary lost 10 tribes of Bible lore. That historic fact is incontrovertible. So he says, I don't, well, Michael, was, have you ever been aware of the Jews claiming to be the 10 lost tribes?
No, they haven't claimed that they're the 10. They also say, almost seem to say that they are Judah. They only say that the 10 lost tribe is just gone. They don't,
Right.
they're not, you cannot find them.
Yeah. So maybe there were some Jews who made that claim, but I'm not aware of any Jews that have ever, so maybe he is, because he himself was raised as a Jew, so he would know. Continuing. Relentless research established as equally true that the so-called or self-styled Jews in Eastern Europe at no time in their history could be correctly regarded as the direct lineal descendants of the legendary, lost 10 tribes of Bible lore, nor are they direct descendants of Judah, the house of Judah. The so-called or self-styled Jews in Eastern Europe in modern history cannot legitimately point to a single ancient ancestor, a single ancient ancestor who ever set foot on the soil of Palestine in the era of Bible history. Research also revealed that the so-called or self-styled Jews in Eastern Europe were never Shemites, are not Shemites now, nor can they ever be regarded as Shemites at any future time by any stretch of the imagination. Man, it's too bad he's not a broadcaster for your folk radio. Exhaustive research also irrevocably rejects, as a fantastic fabrication, the generally accepted belief by Christians that the so-called or self-styled Jews in Eastern Europe are the legendary chosen people, so very vocally publicized by the Christian clergy from their pulpits. Okay. All right. So that is the testimony of Benjamin Friedman, contained in this article. Everybody should read his book, and I don't know the title of it offhand, but it's a letter addressed to Dr. Goldstein, and he explains to Dr. Goldstein the truth of Judaism, which the Jews are not willing to publicize, okay, because they must deceive the Christian world, okay? So, and now, oh boy. Oh boy, now we're getting into the Noahide laws, folks. Noahide laws. To designate March 26, 1991 as Education Day USA. Oh, Education Day USA. Isn't that a very, how should I put it, non-obnoxious or kind of nondescript title, that an innocent sounding title, put it that way. Isn't that an innocent sounding title? Education Day.
Yeah, it
Okay.
sounds very, very innocent, but it's something very horrifying, I think.
That's right, it is. Enrolled as agreed to or passed by both House and Senate. By the way, this reminds me, unfortunately, Dr. Lorraine Day has passed away, and she was a great exposer of the Kol Nidre, the Kol Nidre prayer as well, but the so-called Education Day, the Noahide laws. Her husband was actually in Congress the day it was passed, so she was very intimately familiar with the Noahide laws. And she was a very good woman. Unfortunately, she was a Judeo-Christian and believed she did not believe in the covenant message. But other than that, she was a very good woman. So this is House Joint Resolution 104, 102nd Congress of the United States, at the first session. Here we go. Begun and held at the City of Washington on Thursday, the third day of January. We need to bow our heads every third day of January from now on, folks. 1,991. Okay, and this was during the regime of George Herbert Walker Bush, a very dark day in the history of America. Joint resolution to designate March 26, 1991. Oh, okay. Well, this was resolved on the third day of January. And the March 26 is the Education Day USA. Whereas Congress recognizes the historical tradition of ethical values and principles, which are the basis of civilized society and upon which our great nation was founded. Sounds very innocent, doesn't it? Our great nation. Well, now, it's interesting. Does America belong to the Jews or does it belong to us?
No, it don't belong to us. No, it was made for Christians, not for Jews. Your founding father wanted to keep them away.
Right, but the Jews are speaking as if the country belonged to them. Isn't that the way this is worded? Okay, or that America was both Jewish and Christian at the same time?
No, not Jewish and Christian.
No, not both. It's only one, folks. Christian. No such thing as Judeo-Christianity. Continuing, of course, now this has to be read by the members of Congress, so the members of Congress have to be just as much fooled as the rest of us. Whereas these ethical values and principles have been the bedrock of society from the dawn of civilization, when they were known as the Seven Noahide Laws. Oh, when were they ever known as the Seven Noahide Laws?
This is a Jewish find out.
Yeah. It's one of those secret Jewish laws that Christians are totally unaware of, right? Nobody ever heard of these Noahide laws until they created this so-called law, all right? Whereas without these ethical values and principles, the edifice of civilization stands in serious peril of returning to chaos. Well, it's returning to chaos thanks to Judaism. Right? Whereas society is profoundly concerned with the recent weakening of these principles that has resulted in crises that beleaguer and threaten the fabric of civilized society. All very innocuous sounding words. But what the Jews are doing here is they're equating the Mosaic law with the Noahide laws. And of course, we know that Deuteronomy 4:2 says that no one can change the written law of Moses, given through Moses, and that is a violation of Torah. But the Talmud from beginning to end is a violation of Torah. The Jews know it, but nevertheless they continue because they have no choice but to continue fooling us, hoping to get away with destroying white Christian civilization. Whereas the justified preoccupation with these crises must not let the citizens of this nation lose sight of the responsibility to transmit these historical ethical values from our distinguished past to the generations of the future. Okay, now, in other words, the Jews are claiming that the Mosaic law and the Noahide laws are one and the same. Okay, for anybody who doesn't know any better, that's what they're thinking when they read this. And of course, this is a secret law, is it not?
Yeah, they don't want us to know it.
Yeah. Whoever heard of this celebration day? Whoever heard of this?
No one. This is just a cover. This is just a cover. Yeah. Something that sounds good. Oh, Education Day. What good. And then they sneak this one in. In this big bump of papers. No one reads it all.
Yeah. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Let us meet at the playground and ride around the carousel and slide down the slide. It's just a happy occasion that we're all celebrating the Mosaic Law, right? That's what people think. Whereas the Lubavitcher movement...
Lubavitcher, now we're talking about real Orthodox Jews.
There we go. The worst of the lot. Whereas the Lubavitch movement has foisted, and promoted these ethical values, which are Talmudic, folks, and principles throughout the world in secret, not for the benefit of the Goyim, but for the oppression of the Goyim. You have to be able to read between the lines of any Jewish proclamation you ever hear. Continuing, whereas Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, leader of the Lubavitch movement, is universally respected and revered, and his 89th birthday falls on March 26, 1991. Okay, universally respected and revered. By whom, Michael?
Revered? But what, by Jewish rabbi?
Yeah.
It says not by us, anyway.
Universally. That means everybody.
They're world Zionist congregations or world Jewish congregations. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Maybe that.
So,
but not by us. No, we have never approved. This is their doing. And they say, we don't have to approve this.
So,
I don't hear Eli anymore.
Yeah, right?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Now I hear you again.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that you were. Okay, so let me just start this sentence over. Whereas in tribute to this great spiritual leader, really, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, great spiritual leader that nobody ever heard of, the Rebbe, his 90th year will be seen as one of education and giving. Yeah, giving us the treatment. The year in which we turn to education and charity, that's Jewish territory, otherwise known as communism, to return the world to the moral and ethical values contained in the 7 Noahide laws. The Bible is not mentioned here.
No, because they don't believe it. They want to forbid it.
Yeah. And so where is it recorded in the Bible that Noah proclaimed these 7 laws?
No, this is they're made up. They make this right up. No, Noah never proclaimed this.
It's a joke, folks. It's a Jewish joke, and the joke is on us. Whereas this will be reflected in an international scroll of honor signed by the President of the United States and other heads of state. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled that March 26, 1991, the start of the 90th year of Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, leader of Worldwide Lubavitch Movement, is designated as Education Day USA. The president is requested to issue a proclamation calling upon the people of the United States to observe such day with appropriate ceremonies and activities. Have you ever joined? Well, you're in Sweden. Has any Christian American ever been invited to observe this day every year, March 26, 1991?
No, not to my knowledge, and I don't think you know it either. So yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, I would refuse to attend. Right?
Yeah.
I would be reading this document and how inimical it is to the interests of America. All right? And so, Speaker of the House of Representatives, Vice President of the United States, President of the Senate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll go into the actual Noahide laws next week. We don't have time to get into it today. So, we can see here. Now, Isn't it obvious that the Jews have so much influence in our Congress that they can force the Noahide laws down the American people's throats without their knowledge and without their consent?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes. And then when you know what is the stance in it, then people will be enraged.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe not. Christians today seem to be the most lackluster, lukewarm people that have ever existed.
Yeah, they are. And they would, oh, that would never happen. Oh, no, not here. Never happen. And then they keep on until that, as we say, this military boot is in their ass. And then,
right.
But then it's too late.
Yes. Yeah. So the Judeo-Christian world has become so lukewarm, lackluster, what's the word? demasculinized, okay, de-racified, deracinated, etc., etc., that they might not even exist. That's how bad it is, folks. All right, folks, you have been listening to Speak Free Radio. Be sure to stay tuned for the Dave and Duke Show. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition, keep the faith, and have a Jew-free day.